Welcome to the Simple Money, Simple Life podcast. I am Matt Erickson, and I'm your host. This is a podcast where we explore how simplicity beats complexity, especially in money matters. We explore investing, personal finance, and how to live a simple and awesome life. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 84, titled Five Mistakes Most Investors Make. I'm basing this podcast today off a book that I read by Peter Malouk titled The Five Mistakes Every Investor Makes and How to Avoid Them. And so I thought I would dive into this subject just because I think investing is really important and it's a great way to prepare for the future and to give yourself an opportunity to hopefully not need a paycheck, but have a portfolio that provides you cash flow in your years when you don't want to be working, whenever that might be. And so I think there's some really good strategies you can use on that path. There are many, many strategies that people use. Some people use real estate. Some people use actively managed mutual funds. Some people use cryptocurrency. Some people use index funds. Everybody has their own approach. And my beliefs line up with Peter Malouk, the author of this book's beliefs. And so I'm going to go over a few of these mistakes so that you can make sure that you can avoid these mistakes. Mistake number one is market timing. And so the last year, the market has been very volatile. At one point, we slipped into a bear market, which means the market was down by at least 20%. And so when you see your portfolio value drop by 20%, especially if you're at a position in your life where you have a sizable portfolio and you're seeing tens of thousands of dollars, possibly hundreds of thousands of dollars, if you're really wealthy, dropping off your account balances, then it can get a little bit scary. So a lot of time people will think they can time the market, which they may see the market dropping. And so they go straight to cash, which means they sell their stock investments and sit in cash thinking that the market will continue to drop and that they will try to get back in as soon as the market is done dropping and starts to go back up. So this is a strategy that a lot of people try to use. Rarely do people get it right. If they do, they're typically just lucky, because trying to predict the future is something that most people are not able to do. It's something that's kind of impossible to do. But a lot of people think they can outsmart the market. They know what's coming. They know what geopolitical things are happening, and therefore they're going to predict the market. For example, when COVID happened a couple of years ago, when it started, the market dropped really quickly and really fast. And I think it went down like 20-30% in a month or two. And so had you kind of bailed out and waited for the pandemic to get over, you would have lost out on the very quick gains that were had. So the market dropped, but it also rebounded really quickly, so which most people did not think would happen. So if you were just guessing, you would have sat in cash for a lot longer than that, waiting for the pandemic to get over, and then you would have lost out on all those gains. So instead of trying to predict the market and time the market and predict when to get out and when to get in, my philosophy is just to consistently buy into the market, meaning dollar cost average, buy into index funds every couple of weeks or every month, whatever your pace is, and to not sell, never sell until you start to use that money to live on. So I think when the market drops, they're just paper losses. They're not real losses. In other words, unless you sell to cash, you haven't lost anything. Most of the time, as I found out through my investing career, it drops, but it rebounds. I mean, in my investing career, I've been through the tech bubble. I've been through the great financial crisis of 2008, the COVID crisis. There have been a lot of crashes and volatility in my lifetime. And luckily, I've never bailed on my portfolio and decided to sell everything and sit in cash. Mistake number two is active trading. A lot of people think that if they listen to Jim Cramer or get an investing newsletter or find a venture capitalist they can invest in, or a real estate fund or some fancy thing, that they'll be able to make more money than the market. A lot of people believe that if they pick single stocks, they will be able to beat the market. And in other words, I believe that a lot of people get greedy because they want to make more than the market provides, which is typically 8 to 12% depending on the time frame. So what people will do is they will trade in and out of stocks. They will try different strategies. They will try to do research to find out which are the winners and which are the losers, instead of just kind of buying and holding, which is what I would recommend you do. It hurts performance to actively tinker with your portfolio. A Fidelity study showed that the people who did the best, I think, were people who were dead and women. And the reason why they found this is because women were less likely to try to change their allocation and change their approach. They just kind of stuck with their strategy. And of course, dead people didn't touch their portfolio. And a Vanguard study also showed that target date fund people who have all their money in target date funds tend to do a few percent better than those who don't. And I think the reason behind all of this is because those types of investors are the buy and hold type, who just buy in, sit tight, and don't try to outsmart the market and get fancy. Mistake number three is misunderstanding performance and financial information. So a lot of people tend to not understand how the market works. They believe that news that they get will affect the market in a certain way. They believe that maybe Republican presidents will produce higher returns than Democrat presidents. They might believe that a financial manager might be able to get them over performance of what the market can provide. They might think that certain things that happen in the world will do certain things to the market. People think they're really smart, and oftentimes they're just guessing. So instead of trying to structure your portfolio or dance in and out of the market based on what's going on in the world or what financial institutions are saying, I think it's better to turn off CNBC and just stick with investing every month of your life. Mistake number four is letting yourself get in the way. The two emotions that often go along with investing are fear and greed, and the herding effect, or everyone following in to a certain stock that is popular. A lot of people, when times are good, they get greedy and start wanting more and more. And when the market starts to fall, they get fearful and sell when their stocks are down. Some investors are overconfident, thinking that they can outsmart their colleagues, outsmart Wall Street, outsmart PhDs who do this for a living and who spend all their waking hours studying the markets. And they will also have different kind of thinking errors, thinking that because this happened at this time or this happened at that time, this is what's going to happen next time. And so there's a lot of biases built into our human natures that kind of prevent us from being good investors. So the best thing to do in investing is develop a plan, write it down, and stick with it. Don't talk yourself into doing something different because, for example, recency bias is a common thinking error that we get into. One of those is, well, over the last 10 years, international stocks have not done as well as US stocks. Therefore, I shouldn't own any international stocks. That would be a case of recency bias. In investing, 10 years is not that long. We're investing for a lifetime. And so there's a concept called reversion to the mean, where typically if something's been down for a while, it will come back up. And there's been long periods of time where US has outperformed international and vice versa. So I think the best way to go is just to own both. That way, you're never going to be the best. You're never going to be the worst. You're going to diversify and take what the world market gives you, which I think is a great strategy to take. Mistake number five is working with the wrong advisor. There's quite a few different kinds of financial advisors. There's most around here where I live are financial advisors who call themselves financial advisors, but basically are their product salespeople who try to get you into a certain product so that they can get a commission. They're not 100% fiduciaries. In other words, they're not required to put your best interest first. They go by the suitability standard, which means that they put you in investments that are suitable. So most of the financial advisors in the country operate under this premise. Those who work for Edward Jones, which is a really popular investment strategy, are typically this. They can be a fiduciary at times, but they're not always. They might also sell you into an expensive annuity that might provide them a very large commission. So it's important to know who you're working with. I think the best financial advisors, at least for many people, would be the type that you hire by the hour, because there is no conflict of interest with financial advisors who work by the hour that I can think of. There's a lot of financial advisors who also do an assets under management model, which they get a percentage of how many assets you have with them. So if you have $1 million portfolio, they'll charge you 1% a year to manage it, which is a lot of money. And those are typically fiduciaries, but they also have conflicts of interest, which they'll usually share with you. One conflict of interest might be, for example, they would suggest that you not pay off your mortgage, because if you pay off your mortgage, their portfolio that they're managing will have a big outflow of money. They'll have less money to manage, and therefore they will make less because they charge you assets under management. So my favorite model are the ones who maybe charge you a yearly fee to watch over your portfolio or help you. The ones who do the assets under management, if you have a complicated portfolio, you need a lot of help with tax loss harvesting, you might have just layers of complexity with your business, and you have a lot of different accounts. Sometimes those financial advisors can be super helpful because your life is so complicated. And so hiring a financial advisor in those situations might make perfect sense for you. So those are the five mistakes that many investors make. It's important that we try to get it right in investing. And a few concepts just to think about is to have a clearly defined plan. Decide what your strategy is going to be. For example, are you going to invest a certain amount every month? Are you going to invest a certain percentage of your income every month? Are you going to use index funds or actively managed funds? I would recommend index funds. Are you going to go with Fidelity, Vanguard, Schwab, Betterment? Which investment platform are you going to use? Are you going to use a Roth IRA or a 401k? Or a traditional brokerage account? Are you going to have a very simple like three fund portfolio? Are you going to use a target date fund? Are you going to try to slice and dice it and use multiple ETFs or index funds? So find what works for you and stick with it. What is most important is that you stick with a strategy. For example, are you willing to take a global approach and invest in both US and international? What percentage are you gonna hold in each? So those are good things to think through. Read a little bit about, try to get a basic education. Maybe read a book such as Simple Path to Wealth by J.L. Collins that will give you some really basic understanding of how the market works and how financial independence works, and then get on your way. I think it's getting it right also includes using index funds instead of actively managed funds. They do research on this all the time, which shows that over years, index funds typically outperform active managers. So stop trying to pay for the expensive actively managed mutual funds and be content with using index funds. It's important also to make sure you will stay with your strategy through thick and thin, that when the market looks like it's going to blow up, that you just look the other way and have good things in your life so that you don't focus completely on your portfolio or on your market. On the market, that you'll be able to sleep at night even if the market is tanking and the world looks like it's in crisis. The stock market is resilient and bounces back. And it's also important that you understand asset location, which means you know where to put your stocks and your bonds. For example, it's best not to put your bonds in a taxable account because of the tax implications of if you have it in a tax advantage account, you won't be paying those taxes. And it's good to consider the main principle, which is why am I going to invest and to get started? when you think about how money compounds and what you want your future to look like, it's just so comforting to know that you're planning for that and that you're strategizing for that, that you're putting money away for that, because there will be a time when you maybe not won't want to work. And to know that you can count on something other than Social Security and that you build up a nice portfolio to take you into your years that will help you live and also hopefully give to others, it's a really awesome thing to think about. So I challenge you to find the balance between investing enough that it hurts a little bit, but also living your life today and enjoying some pleasures and some fun things in the moment as well, but finding that nice balance. That is all I have for you guys today. Hope you're all doing awesome. Have a great week, and remember, the simple life is a good life.